This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm with Henry Midchidlishwili. How are you, Henry?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We're here at Plumpton, but you're not a member of Plumpton staff or a student, are you?
I can say now I'm part-time working here.
You are part-time?
Yes, most of the time when it's fermentation time and the crushing time, I'm here.
Yeah.
2 months. Or now we're taking visitors, so more or less every week I'm coming twice a week.
Okay. And what we're doing here at Plumpton is we've been here looking at your...
Marani.
Is that what you call it?
Marani. It's a wine cellar.
It's a wine cellar. It's a very small cellar. But you're not part of the Plumpton, Plumpton. You're on a sort of building tapped onto the side, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And the thing about you is that you're from Georgia.
Yeah, originally I'm from Georgia, yeah.
And you're doing wines here in a Georgian style.
Yep, using the oldest winemaking method, which is protected by UNESCO, making wine in quarries. It's clay vessels.
Yeah, so quarry is a clay vessel.
Yep.
And you're saying that it's protected by UNESCO. Why? What's so special about it?
This is the wine, the quarry itself is a unique product. Keeps the clay itself got ability to store any food or liquid years. They found about quarry which was sealed. And there was water inside, and it was dated like 800 years. And when they opened, water still was drinkable after 800 years. So this ability of clay and this maceration and the fermentation with wine, it's just wine is unique out there.
So the quarry is like a jar, isn't it?
It's like egg-shaped clay pot, and they are different sizes.
You were telling me earlier that this is how wines were made in Georgia 8,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's correct.
What's the story there? How do they know it's from, this method was...
The oldest quarry they found is dated to be 6,000 BC. And the grape seed was found inside the quarry. It was already domesticated. So it just... from there they proved that the oldest one is 8,000 years old.
Okay, so you've got these clay pots that have got seeds in them, carbon dated to 6,000 BC, 8,000 years ago, and the grapes were domesticated, you said?
Yeah.
How did they know that?
Tested in Pennsylvania, I think the Americans, they've done all these researches, et cetera, that they dated.
So, do you want to tell us a wee bit about how historically Georgians used to make wines?
It's again, the quarry was very, very popular in Georgia. And after the Soviet Union joined the Soviet Union, they start to dismiss this method. But after, again, we started to using this method quite often now, and it becomes every day popular. And now European countries start making quarry wines.
Mm.
And it's like oak, some of them like aging oak, some of them like quarry. They are different, absolutely different tastes.
Okay.
And it's the temperature is ideal for wine. Stability of the temperature. This is main thing to make a good wine.
Okay, so these clay pots, you said they're oval, but they've got they're not quite oval because they've got a little pointy bit at the bottom, haven't they? As well, so they're not quite a perfectly oval shape.
No.
And when we had a look at your winery, you couldn't actually see the quarries. They were actually buried in the ground.
Yeah.
So what's going on there? So you have these pots buried in the ground to make your wine?
Well, otherwise, how are we going to keep the temperature control?
Okay, so that's what it's all about, yeah. Is it? We were talking about that, and I was saying it doesn't quite make sense, because I could see why during maturation, the wine's been made, that's buried in the ground, the ground's quite cool, which is quite nice. It's a nice way of keeping the temperature. But during fermentation, alcoholic fermentation produces a lot of heat.
Yeah, it does.
And burying them would actually raise the temperature, does it? Or
no, well, again, the temperature is a thermostatic. It does not matter. It's cold or it can keep the cold, it can keep the warm. So when it's fermenting, you see it's bubbling and it's fermenting perfectly. promotes the heating itself, the skin itself, the yeast, natural yeast.
Yeah.
So when you leave on skin, it's just fermenting perfectly.
Okay, okay. And you make red wines and white wines with this?
Yes, I do.
The thing that I noticed with the wine production was, when I was looking at the sort of process, is with white wines, it's very hard to get the skins out. You know, when you normally make a wine, you crush it, you separate the skins, and you ferment it. Yeah. But for you guys, you crush your grapes, you chuck them in the quarry,
yeah,
and then you ferment on the skins.
Well, again, when you crush, we leave about 30% of the quarry empty. So in the fermentation, the gas push from down, it comes up. Mm-hmm. So, and we keep punching every 3-4 hours.
That's punching the skins back down.
Yeah, to let the gas come out, And when it's done, the skin slowly goes down,
mm-hmm.
and it's naturally filtered. It filters the wine. So when the skin goes down, the clear juice comes up. We just pump the juice out and we take the skin off manually.
Just make sure I understand this. You juice and skins in the quarry.
Yep.
Fermentation occurs, lifting the skins to the top.
Yep.
You punch it down. When fermentation's finished, there's no more carbon dioxide being produced. Yep. So the skin slowly sinks.
Slowly goes down. This feels to no wine.
Yep. So what you've then got is skins and seeds and yeast at the bottom.
Clear juice out. Or
clear juice at the top, yeah.
Yep, correct.
And you make red wines and white wines?
Yep. The Cajetian method is a method of winemaking is that we leave on skin until spring.
For the reds?
No, whites. Red only 10 days or 2 weeks.
Yeah, so the red ones, they're on...
They become very heavy after. If you leave on the skin, it's going to be too much. So that's why... And the color goes off. So we leave about 10 days.
Okay.
And white we leave on skin till...
So there's a lot of skin contact with these wines.
Yep.
And that method of production, we call it an orange wine?
Yeah, because there's skin contact, the wine comes an orange color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the sort of classic Georgian style was the orange
wine?
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
I haven't tried an orange wine, but I've tried your red Merlot.
Yeah.
How
did you find it?
It was all right. I was trying to work out, there's an unusual flavor in there, and I thought it was sulfur dioxide, but you said the wines don't have any sulfur.
It's just low sulfites.
So it might be green fruits, but you said the fruit came from Puglia in Italy.
Puglia.
Yeah, which is quite a hot place.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand what's going on. It's not a wine, it's a fruit thing. I'm pretty sure it's a fruit thing, not a winemaking. But it's almost like some green flavors or something in there, which was a little bit strange because Puglia is very hot.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, the wine's quite good. And the thing that surprised me was that the tannins weren't particularly high. I mean, I was expecting, when I thought, oh, these wines will have massive tannins and it'll be horrible.
Why, what makes you think that it should be massive tannins in?
Because I thought the skin was in contact for a long period of time, but you've separated.
Again, when you crush it, you have to keep the branches as well. That gives the tannin.
Yeah, well, very astringent tannins.
Yeah. Because this machine, we just crush the grapes itself.
Okay, you haven't chucked any stems?
No.
No stems, okay. A lot of natural wine producers, or I like to call them raw wine producers, they quite like orange wine production because the nice thing about orange wines is the skins give tannins, which means that you get stability against oxidation. The wines become more stable. Is that sort of an important part of the production method for you guys?
This method, it comes from generations and generations. I don't know, 8,000 years ago, what my granddad was thinking when I crushed and lived on the skin. So
yeah, yeah.
It is a long time, so nobody knows. But this comes from years and years, and it's passed from dad to son, and et cetera. It's an ongoing history.
Yeah. So, that's a long time, though, 8,000 years.
Yeah, it is. And still this method is still compatible with other methods.
Yeah. What surprised me was the wines were actually quite clean and reasonably modern style. You know, it wasn't, you know, I had this vision that it would be just a real weird style of wine, but the wine itself wouldn't look unusual on a supermarket shelf, you know, just selling and just as a normal style of wine.
Personally, I never used to drink the bigger guys' wines. I always used to drink home wine at home, or we had at home. If I don't, I always get it from my friends. I like this style. Takes a lot of goodness from wine, I think. The first time when I filtered the wine, to tell you after, I was shocked. It was just, the wine is gone. It was some different one. I said, what's wrong with it? And they said, wine gets upset when you filter them. And it comes, but the taste came back after 8 weeks.
Yeah, there's a shock, isn't there?
When you it's a shock. And then why should you, again, for me, I don't understand why they put sulfite or acid or something. Why? Just leave it as it is, natural wine. Just crush it, look after it, and make nice wine. Why? What's the point to follow this standards? If you are close to standard, it's your good wine, but at the end of the day, you can have a standard, but it's not winey.
The wines haven't been aged in oak at all.
No.
And in fact, the maturation process, the maturing of the wines left in the quarry, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was expecting a lot more oxidation occurring, but they don't seem to be oxidized. Why does the wine not sort of turn brown and oxidized?
We keep the quarries up to top. We just leave only 1 centimeter gap. And it's we're using the clays, but now we're getting some plastic from Italy, special plastic. So it's all of them are sealed. It's no contact with oxygen at all.
Yeah, so the wines are in these clay pots, and they're just sealed, so no oxygen.
Yeah, if the seal is broken, you ruin your wine. Your wine is gone. You can have a vinegar after. Yeah. It's completely sealed. And sometimes what I use the smoke sulfites to burn the oxygen at all. A small piece of smoking sulfite. Yeah. I smoke it. When I put the glass on top of it, and the oxygen is gone, I just seal after. So it's no contact at all with oxygen.
Yeah, okay. So just on that sulfite, so do you burn the sulfite?
Yeah. It's a little piece of smoking sulfites. Yeah, so just use a small piece, then this oxygen.
And then so it gets a little layer of sulfur dioxide on sulfide on the top, and you put the lid on, and then there's no oxygen, nice and clean. Yeah, okay, nice. And so what wines have you been making here at Plumpton? What sort of grape varieties and styles?
First 2017, we've done the Montepulciano, Merlot and Trebbiano. This year I've done only Montepulciano and Trebbiano and plus Pinot Noir.
Yep.
And I have to say this wine is better than this one.
Yeah.
You don't believe, but it is.
No, I believe it.
Yeah, because last year was a very, very nice year for UK and the grape was up to 19, the sugar level, which is unusual for English grape, you know.
Yeah.
The wine is unbelievable. Yeah, I'm very proud of this one, but I'm going to open for a special occasion this one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, because it's only 50 bottles in the world. You can't get this wine in nowhere.
Yeah. And what about Bacchus? I think you did some Bacchus, or?
No, but I'm planning to do this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Planning to do this year, because the price-wise, for trial, it was very risky to buy for 1 kg for £5 when you get cheaper from Italy. Yeah. So it was trial, but now we're confident we can make a nice wine, so I can afford now to make a proper English quarry wine.
Yeah, okay, so the first few years were quite experimental.
I was doing the quarry wine first time in my life, so I couldn't risk too much expenses for trial, but we end up to have a premium wine.
Do the guys here at Plumpton, do they help you at all in the production, or?
Students helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So the students who is helping me, we sending them Georgia for free.
Oh, nice.
Well, the Danish one girl, the Spanish guy, Danny, helped me a lot. He's a very nice guy, and he's in Georgia. He's coming Sunday now. He said this. He was amazing. He loved the Georgia.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Henry. I think we're going to wrap it up there. And next week, we'll probably talk about some of the grape varieties that are common in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.